Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. And today's guest most certainly goes without exception. We have the founder and CEO of Fitness Premier 24/7 Clubs, Jason Markowitz. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you having me. Good to be here.
Absolutely. The more I've learned about you, just the more I've been impressed. And I'm just honored to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to just sharing your story of success, because you have impacted so many people through entrepreneurship. And as we all know, entrepreneurship is the American dream. And my goodness, you are living the American dream. Jason, congrats on all of your success and congrats on pioneering within the franchise space. I know that you are pretty good at a few things, and that is franchising, real estate, and fitness. But without further ado, let's jump in. I would love to hear the founding story. How did you start this incredible company, and where did you start down this path?
Yeah, you know what? Growing up, I was just a real active kid with sports, and like many of us, right? Playing all the football, basketball, baseball, and I was fortunate.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. So blessed to do all that. Those skills you learn as young athletes really help you in the business world tremendously well, right? So I played some college football, and long story short, I had a football teammate of mine that had a family member that was opening up a fitness facility in the Chicagoland market where I live, right? So out of school as a 22-year-old kid, I got a degree in business, had no idea really what I wanted to do beyond that, and just love fitness and working out and being active. So I got a job at this fitness center at 22 years old, and it was really a unique opportunity because the founder of that concept, it was a unique model to where he was out of state, right? He was on the West Coast. He would finance it, invest in it, but he wanted operating partners to run it, and he was willing to split it 49-51 or 50-50 and place people to run the business. So I helped him open up a few locations early on, got some good experience. After about 18 months or so, I was fortunate to have a great relationship with him. And we owned our first store at 23 years old, right out of college. So I really never had, I worked for them for about a year to kind of learn the business. And from there, we just dove in headfirst. At 23, we had our first fitness facility that we owned and had a business partner across the US. So it was really tremendously on us to execute and make sure it was profitable and get it going. So it's just some really good hands-on experience early on. And really thankful for that. So, and if as you fast forward and you kind of go through that, we had some really good success because back then in our industry, there was really nobody doing what we were doing. We were the first ones to really do EFT, recurring billing, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was really only in the insurance companies were doing it then. So fitness, we brought it in before a lot of competitors did. And so for the first 5 or 6 years, it was really easy, very successful. We were able to get 3,000 members in an 8,000 square foot facility, do very well in a very simple operation, right? So looking back, it would have been cool to franchise that concept at the timing when it happened, because nobody else was really doing it, right? Planet wasn't really around yet. There's a lot of the competitors that you hear today didn't exist back then. So yeah, we were fortunate to get ownership in about 12 stores throughout the Midwest and Mid-South. We opened up some locations then in various states. I live in the Chicago suburbs. So we opened stores in Tennessee and Nebraska, and we were in Arkansas. We went to New York. So we were kind of spread all over the place, and we learned a ton of valuable lessons going through that experience, right? Like, it wasn't all easy. It wasn't all sunshine and roses. We went through the school of hard knocks, we'd like to say, and learned some tough lessons. But that really gave us some grit, and we love the business. So we were able to persevere through all that and create a lot of the systems that make us, I think, successful today. So the way, you know, as you fast forward through those tough times, probably 2010, 11, 12, then we started kind of consolidating, and we sold off a lot of the locations that we had in the Mid-South and up in New York to our partners or a competitor. And we kind of regionalized our focus in our backyard going back probably 10 years ago and started building locations, placing operating partners and giving them the same opportunity that I got as a 22, 23-year-old kid. So a lot of people that are in our company today are a lot of them are former athletes, obviously people that are excited about fitness and have a passion for people, but they're also excited to work for themselves and be entrepreneurs and create jobs for others and build teams. So that's one of the things that really gets us excited and gets us going here at our headquarters is teaming up with those type of people and creating opportunities for other people.
Absolutely. That operator model is incredible, right? Everybody wins. There's a lot of upside and it's mutually beneficial.
You bet. And we find that the magic happens, right? Especially in our business at the unit level, right? Like that experience, how customers are treated, the sales process, the culture, the facility, all that secret sauce is driven by that general manager, that franchisee, whoever's running the day-to-day operations for that store. That's where all the synergy happens. So we try to place a tremendous amount of focus there on making sure the right people are in the right seats now and developing them to be deliver the best experience they can.
Do you feel like your training has just gotten so much more dialed in over the years?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, when you think about when we had locations kind of all throughout the U.S., we didn't have the infrastructure for sure that we did today, right? So you kind of got to go through and understand where you have the gaps in the processes to efficiently build them out and make them as efficient as you can. So today we spend a ton of time and resources on developing people, right? So not only on the fitness side, but also on like just the people side, right? Like making sure their personal goals are met. And we're doing a good job of fostering those type of discussions for them and for their team members. So we'll do things. We'll have consistent weekly training sessions. We have monthly masterminds that we host at the office that focus around personal and professional development. You know, we do quarterly and annual summits, and we try to have some fun along the way and do some retreat style stuff with the team where we're traveling together. And at the end of the day, working hard and having a little bit of fun together while we're doing it.
Yeah. And you mentioned something that I want to have you elaborate a little bit further on, which is the school of hard knocks, right? What did you mean by that? And can you give some context?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real school that's out there for those entrepreneurs listening. And I'm sure if you've been in business long enough, you've gone through a cycle, right? Or some tough times, right? Where it hasn't been easy, right? I think for us, probably looking back to that 2006 to 2010 area, going back about 16, 17, 18 years when we were young, hungry, and ambitious. And we ended up opening 6 locations in 3 different states all in the same year. Okay, as corporate stores, right? We weren't franchising back then. They were our stores. So we ended up opening kind of scattered throughout the U.S. at the same time. And not every market was as ready as we thought, right? So we had some competition moving on us at the same time. So it was a little bit slower projection than we anticipated. So the amount of working capital we have in that. So we were at a point in my young career that, you know, I was making a little money over here and just reinvested it all over here at a very quick rate, right? At a rapid pace. And I was the operating partner at the time, the guy traveling around, flying around, staffing GMs, training them up. You lose a guy, then you got to find a guy. And it was tough. That cycle of really made us think about, man, there has to be a more efficient way, right? So we burned through $2 million of money we didn't have with a couple partners and learn what the school of hard knocks is really about, right? What business can look like. And I'm blessed to say that, you know, the partnership group that we had through that cycle, we're all still great friends. We're all still partners in a lot of ways, you know, informally in business and with friendships. So that's probably the biggest thing I'm most proud of. Like it wasn't easy. It was the toughest time probably of our business career for sure. I think we're tremendously wiser and more experienced for it, right? Like now we know what to look for. We know what a personal guarantee on a 10-year lease, you don't want to be out there for 10 years. So we had to negotiate a lot of stuff like that. And the way you learn is by doing it sometimes. So here we are almost 20 years later. And yeah, looking back, you wouldn't change a thing, right? Like as you're going through it, it feels so hard. But I think at the end of every storm, there's a light at the end of that tunnel that there's breakthroughs beyond it. And I think that's where a lot of our systems and our model came from, was born out of that tough time.
Yeah, going through it gives you the blueprint.
Well said, my friend.
And the peace of mind while you're going through those different paths, they're not as unknown. So, and there's a blueprint So it makes executing that much more dialed in.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like fitness, right? Like you go to the gym or fitness center and you're building muscle. Like you're building that, we were building that business muscle back then and we didn't even know it, you know.
And building the business model.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So it made us really shift just to that point real quick to like major metro markets. Fitness is competitive, right? There's a lot of concepts out there. There's pretty limited barrier to entry. Anybody who loves to work out can buy some equipment and open a gym. So we've been really selective in the markets we go to, right? So we focus on tertiary, kind of your small town USA markets in a lot of way. A lot of times we find those are underserved, very loyal customer base. Once you're there and you're doing a good job, they stay forever, right? And you can really build the community around it. So we've been able to scale up and down the size of the facilities to kind of fit the towns that we operate in. And then we've been able to build good performance. So our franchisees have success and it's this win-win relationship. So that's an exciting thing for us. And that's kind of where our focus tends to go is as we kind of look at growing and scaling kind of throughout the Midwest and the Mid-South.
Did you notice when your sophistication around pro formas and annual planning and the data, did you notice a pretty big jump in the business when your sophistication around that leveled up?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, early on, like when times are easy, right? You're not spending every month looking at a P&L sometimes. When you look back at like how we got started, you're looking at your bank account. Okay, there's money in the bank. We're making money. You're moving on. I think when times get tough and things tighten up, is when you get those disciplined financial practices to understand a true P&L and how to manage a budget and do some of those things. So I think as we kind of went through some of those cycles, it's really forced us to be disciplined and educated when it comes to making those type of projections and performas and banking relationships and finance partners. All that stuff stacks up to how effectively you can grow and balance the business. So, and it all comes, I think, in experience, right? Like I didn't get my MBA. I don't have a PhD in finance. We've been through the school of hard knocks and now we understand definitely how our business functions, right? And what to look for and how to look for it, how to be resourceful and find partners and the resources we need to ultimately be successful.
Yeah, and that's the key, your business, right? Dialing in the pro forma, the break even, the margins, and understanding those leading indicators, how they influence the numbers. And being obsessed about that day in, day out, more so being proactive as opposed to reactive. And yeah, that's the scorecard, right? In business, but clearly talking about all of this business mastery and entrepreneurship, I would like to dive back into that, but I want to take a pit stop. And I'm just curious, what is driving you and fueling you through periods of ups and downs and hard knocks and high performance and success? Ultimately, what is fueling that entrepreneurial life that you're living? What do you think is your why? Where is it coming from?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. That's a question we should all ask ourselves often. For me, it's a beautiful wife. I have two great kids, right? So they're at the cornerstone of kind of why I get out of bed and provide for them and, you know, to make just life great and give them things that maybe I didn't have as a child and create those type of opportunities. And I think in addition to that, it's the team we've built, right? Now we have a couple hundred employees. We got some great franchisees. We got a great corporate team. So it's continuing to think and provide opportunities for them. And a lot of them we're partners with in ancillary businesses and supportive businesses. So for me, it's that when I'm a guy who likes to operate out of pressure, I find myself creating chaos a lot of times and kind of put myself in pressure situations because I think that's where I tend to focus the best and right and thrive. So that happens pretty often in our company. So that's why we have a bunch of stuff going on all the time. And we're pretty entrepreneurial in nature and we like to kind of move and get things done. But I think the why for me is all around other people, right? And my family is a big cornerstone. And then the team that we have really doing things for others and that whole team mindset of sports, I think growing up really instilled for me like the sacrifice of doing it for your teammate before you're going to maybe do it for yourself. So we really try to operate that way.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of entrepreneurship. It's that culture component, right? The people piece and everything else flows from that. But when you really live that out, there's a lot of fulfillment. And yeah, that's a life of service, right? You're committing your focus and your attention on people.
it's so much more fun too. I mean, doing it by yourself is a lonely venture. So I find it's a lot more fulfillment and enjoyment out of it, right? Like, I think the money comes and goes, and there's wins and there's losses all through business. But the people and the relationships is really what drives me. Yeah. Couldn't agree
more. Yeah, that is always consistent.
100%. 100%. Couldn't agree more, Nick.
That is often lost in entrepreneurship, right? So many times it's about the bottom line or being transactional, and business is treated differently than, or at least the people in business that you interact with are treated differently than how you treat them in your personal life. I've always thought that that was interesting, but yeah, I mean, you look at success consistently, success is represented by amazing culture. And frankly, a lot of organizations don't even realize that they have amazing culture. But yeah, whether you're intentional about it or you're not intentional about it, you have culture. It's being defined, right? And as the old business cliche goes, culture is going to kick strategy's butt all day.
Yeah, it sure is. We find that it's just right, the norm, right? The way things are done around here, how you treat each other, how you interface, how you lead your team. Culture's happening minute by minute, day by day in all of our companies, right? So I agree with you 100%. I think being intentional in the way you approach it and defining it around, we try to define it around our core values and making sure we're aligned and have the right people in the right seats in a bus and are doing the right things from that perspective. But yeah, and then, you know, try to have some fun too while we do it. Culture should really drive some fun, some relationships, and make it enjoyable.
Right. So getting the right people on the bus, getting them in the right seats, and maybe moving them around because they're being promoted, they're being empowered, and not having very many exit the bus, that is critical. And you're doing that across 6 different companies within your headquarters. Can you share a little bit about what that environment looks like, what those companies are, and just shed some light on being the CEO of these 6 companies?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, yeah, we have our parent company, our franchising and corporate support entities, right? They kind of stand up top, that kind of overarching support our fitness operations. And then from there, we've developed a few companies that we've invested in. One's a tech company that handles all the tech needs for all our facilities and other clients. So that's one thing that we have a president of that. It's actually a franchisee of ours in Blue Ridge, Georgia. Kyle does a great job with that. So that's an investment we made about 2 years ago. So we have kind of a vertically integrated approach, right? Like where we see opportunity and making it more efficient, more affordable, and having control over it that supports their core business. We like those opportunities, right? So with that, it also led us down to commercial real estate. So in a decent amount of the locations we have, we are also the landlord on the backside. So we own the real estate and have leases in place with franchisees or ourselves as corporate stores. So we own and manage those directly. And then that kind of prompted us to say, okay, we have these buildings now, so we got to keep them up to date. And so we have a construction company that handles the maintenance and the remodels and renovations for our commercial and our multifamily portfolio internally. So that led us to needing a property management team that could help effectively manage the tenants and the things that come with that. So those are kind of the 6 entities that we operate on a daily basis. We have great leaders in charge of many of those companies. So, you know, I'm blessed to be surrounded by great people that share a similar vision, that are willing to work hard and ultimately enjoy other people and doing what they do.
Yeah. Do you find that the execution across the teams, the project management side, do you feel like that usually falls on operations or the president? Like, are you looking for a VP of ops to do that or a president? How do you like that structure? I'm just thinking about across these different verticals, totally different industries, but creating a consistent result, right? It's all process and execution. It's very operations focused. I'm just curious who you ultimately assign as the team lead for these different companies. That if there's much more to it than that, but for purely from the operations standpoint, I'm curious, are you leaning on ops or more of a president for that?
Yeah, we have a good ops team. So we run on EOS, right? The Entrepreneurs Operating System. So we try to do our best job, and it's always evolving, right? So we have an accountability chart for each company that kind of spells out what a president might be doing, what the ops team might be doing. So that's as clear as we can make it at that time, right? And we usually revisit that quarterly across other companies. And that helps create some alignments. And then just consistent cadence of communication in our weekly L10s, that drives a lot of just consistent behavior and communication. So we can keep track of things because it is a lot of moving parts, right? You don't want to miss anything. You want to take advantage of opportunities. So I think making sure those roles are clearly defined is an important piece of that for us, right? And we definitely have some verticals where we have, you know, maybe one person running that whole division or company, right? So it's all the operations falls on them. And then we have a couple that have a little bit more business coming in and they have a little bit more depth in their org chart to where they have a support staff and an ops team to lean on a little more heavily. So kind of depends on the company, but EOS for us has been a good structure to kind of implement it and carry it through all the way downstream.
Yeah. Did you hire an implementer from EOS when you first started implementing it?
Great question, right? I have I'm in a few groups and know many other entrepreneurs that have done it both ways. We've done it both ways. We self-implemented initially for the first couple of years, right? We thought we were smart enough to just read traction and read the book and do it on our own. And we did that. Anyway, we did it probably somewhat successfully for a couple of years. And we find ourselves just getting really a little bit loose, a little bit undisciplined with some of the cornerstone things. So 3 or 4 years ago, we made the investment to get an implementer for about 2 years. So we engaged them for kind of cleaned up and standardized. It's really around, especially multiple businesses, right? And how that would all kind of function together. So that was really helpful too. It was a huge help for us to have Sean help us implement and kind of clean up our act a little bit. And so it's been probably about a year and a half since we worked with Sean. So now we're back off on our own and we're pretty disciplined in the way we do it with our core company. So yeah, tools are great. I mean, it's like anything. It's just the discipline of doing it. So we try to stay focused there. It's not perfect, but right now I think it's working well for us.
Do you use 90.io, the software for EOS?
I don't. There's a couple guys in my EO group that actually do use it and they spoke really highly of it. So we have all internal stuff like the Google Sheets and a lot of manual stuff that we use for it. Have you used that before?
I've tried to duplicate our project management platform to do what 90.io does. I haven't used 90.io, but I know it's awesome.
Yeah, the guys and gals in my group that use it speak really highly of it.
It's out of the box. It's an out of the box solution. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. So the EOS implementer, you were saying his name is Sean. Sounds like he did a great job.
Yeah, he did do a great job. Yeah, we've given him a couple of referrals since. He's out of Chicago. Named Sean McDermott, Traction Group. Great guy. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely want to give him a shout out because a good implementer is critical when you're laying the foundation of implementing an operating system like EOS, right? Have you looked into like the rocket fuel stuff with EOS?
Yeah. It was one of the books he gave us when he did it. Yeah. So like the VI meetings with your visionary and integrator. So we have a weekly cadence for that. So that has been real helpful too, because I think with any company you want to grow at scale, like having the visionary and the integrator aligned on core stuff and communicating effectively, consistently, is a big piece to it, right? So I'm blessed to have a great COO partner that's a partner with us in the business that, you know, can do a lot of the blocking and tackling that's necessary to operate, to kind of free me up to kind of the bigger ticket items or the projects or the visionary stuff so that we can continue to kind of see what's coming around the corner.
So you're wearing the visionary hat.
Yeah, I am in many companies. Yeah, I enjoy the eyepiece. I find myself kind of getting back in there at times and then they'll kick me back up and say, get out of here, go do what you do.
Yeah, stop fiddling around with stuff. You're getting in the way.
Indigenous meeting. Yeah, go do your thing. So yeah, it seems to be a good balance and a good rhythm for sure for us. So
right, absolutely. Well, yeah, that visionary and integrator combination, it's what Gina Wickman calls rocket fuel. And it's rocket fuel for an organization because so many times the entrepreneur, the founder is doing both. And there's not really a structure around meetings. So that founder is just pulling the company, the leadership team that they have from here to there. And EOS is beautiful because it comes in and just streamlines the company, turns it into data, and makes sure that you have the right folks on the bus. So I'm curious, in addition to EOS, do you have any sort of personality program that you use within your company?
You bet. Yeah, we've used a couple over the years. Now we're pretty in love with Culture Index. So we use Predictive Index. Way back in the day, we used to have some Massage Envy spa franchises that we owned. So they were kind of part of Massage Envy. And now we're on Culture Index. We're big fans. So we built out, we have a great implementer in Samit out of Memphis, Tennessee, that helps consult with us on a consistent basis to make sure we're understanding the graphs. So when we do our quarterly meetings, we're reviewing the graphs. We just got done with it last week for our corporate team of, you know, kind of where people are sitting on their view of the job and making sure you got the right people in the right seats. So yeah, for us, that's been a blessing. We're probably 3 or 4 years into that program. So, and that's something we invest for at the franchisor level. And then we give access to all the franchise locations. And it's a tool that we train on and we kind of carry down so we can help them find the right people for the right seats, because it'll make their location that much more successful and efficient. So those two things are two cornerstone pieces that I think makes us probably a little unique in the fitness franchising space, as we really coach our franchisees and our managers to operate under EOS and use that as a cadence to manage their facility, because we feel like it frees up a lot of time and energy and makes it more efficient. And then use Culture Index as a hiring tool to make sure you don't make those hiring mistakes that we've all made over the years.
Are you an enterpriser?
I am. Yeah, I am. You nailed me.
You are. Wow. Wow. Culture Index tests against 19 profiles, right? And enterpriser is one of them. You want to take a stab at what I am?
Well, man, you might be a, what's the socialist one? Socialist, or I wouldn't be surprised if you're an enterpriser as well. I know you got a few things going. Am I close?
Technical expert.
Oh, technical expert. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. You got that.
Yeah.
You got that detail in you.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yep.
We got a couple.
Yeah. 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 Love the visionary and the integrator piece. That's the tech expert in me. So when I started working with my integrator, I really had to work on letting go of the vine, because I love the ops as well. I love the integration.
Yeah, for sure. It's the process, right? Letting go of that stuff. You got to think that relationship you have with your integrator is the most valuable part of the company, probably, right? Like being able to let go and really let them run free. So that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting the right integrator is paramount. It's important to be able to test against different profiles like Culture Index, understand who you are, who you work best with, and be able to just literally map that out and march toward that ideal partner. When you start getting granular around the organization, it's pretty incredible the results that you get. And yeah, so making it as objective as possible. EOS, Culture Index, it's a killer combination. And getting your organization to the point where you have rocket fuel, you can sit in the visionary hat or you can sit in the integrator hat, but regardless, your organization is running objectively, and that is key. Thank you for shedding some light on some of your strategies and tips for success. I most certainly leveled up today. I'm inspired. I'm ready to finish the week hot. It's Friday and we still have a lot of the day ahead of us, but I know you are a busy man. I appreciate you making the time of being on the show and giving us a glimpse into your world. If anybody would like to get in touch with you or learn more about your organization, your franchise opportunity, how can they do that?
It's simple as just go on our website at fitnesspremierclubs.com. You can find us there. And yeah, we'd love to connect. Nick, I really appreciate you having me on. It's been great. You're doing great work. So keep it up.
Ah, thank you. Well, this is an amazing organization. You can see it has tremendous leadership and all of those companies. It's not easy to run additional organizations. And you're doing that. Your team is doing that. And you're doing that to make more impact and create more efficiencies. And I love that you're even partnering with your franchise owners on some of those endeavors. Folks, smash the like button on this video, drop some comments down below, contribute to the conversation, and as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, It's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.